Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man.
Virginia. It's nice and cold and rainy. Beautiful, typical fall day. Hope everyone had a good weekend. You're supposed to be joined by Angie, but she is sleeping right now. And she started her new job over at, God, I forgot where she works. But she works at, a methadone clinic. And, hours are really weird. So, like, she has to get up 3:30, 3:45 to take a shower because she needs to be ready to go and be out of the house by 4:30. But the problem with that is lately RJ has been getting up with Angie at 4:30 in the morning and staying awake. Before, when she used to go to work, you know, she would work overnight, or when she'd work like she was working at the jail, and she would get up in the morning and RJ would go back to sleep. But and then RJ, and then we wake up around 7:30 o'clock, whatever. But now he stays awake. So from like 4:30 on, I am awake too, because I can't obviously can't let him run around the apartment by himself. So it's been a learning process trying to get back into the swing of things. But to answer your question, Kimberly, yeah, the music is coming from my phone. That's why it sounds terrible. But yeah, I just, you know, the audio quality isn't great with the music playing, especially from my phone to the Facebook Live here. And I wasn't actually planning on doing a Facebook Live, but the way I figured, the more people I can get to listen to the story and hear our guests, the better. So I figured, you know, why not? Let's get more ears on the on our guests. And my guest, very excited because she is one of my best friends. We've been friends for, God, I don't know, like 5 years now. She was actually one of my co-hosts on the Freaking Awesome Show for a while. Called her a silent Cece because she didn't say much, but when she did, her questions were very poignant and she may have brought up some good points, and it was a lot of fun having her on the show with me when she was a part of it. But she is an author. She has written a few, like, God, 4 or 5 books, I think. I have 2 of them. And they're signed copies, by the way, so hell yeah. And she's come to talk to us about her newest book called More Than You Know. I keep on saying More You Know, but that's not right. More Than You Know. And it's a unique look on domestic violence, but this time it's about male domestic violence. I guess a lot of people don't really think about too much. But if it happens, and we're going to talk about it tonight. Let me go ahead and put her on the show here. Hello, hello.
What's up?
How are you doing, girl?
Just enjoying this wonderful winter. I guess it's technically fall weather out here. I mean, it showed up today, too. I had the windows open all day. I had to put socks on with the windows open. It was just that cold.
Gee.
It feels fantastic, man.
Well, you know, at my house, it's always freezing. So I'm sitting here in my fleece pullover and my flannel pajama bottoms, regardless. If it's like 90 degrees outside or 30, I'm still in the same outfit because Angie keeps it so cold in here.
Yeah, and I do the same thing, but like it's kind of brisk outside. I mean, I had the windows all open and everything, and so I was just enjoying the nice difference from being in Florida last week and it being like 90 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so nice being able to go outside and feel the cold air and, you know, smelling like the wood fires burning in the distance. And that's fall. That's when you know it's really fall. Like when you go outside, it's 10 degrees outside. It's like, oh my God, just go away, summer. You don't need to be here anymore. Nobody wants you.
Exactly. Yeah, it's October, almost Halloween. It's time for cold.
This month has gone by so fast. It is amazing. This whole, like, year has gone by fast. It's weird because of COVID. You'd think, like, well, it's still going to take a forever. For me, it's, like, just one long, just continuous, I don't want to say day, but it's just, I almost like I'm on a Groundhog Day, like, all year round. The same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Over. But it still feels like it's going by.
It's flown by. It's crazy how quickly, I mean, especially with, like, the pandemic and everything, you would think that everyone would be like, oh, this year's flying by. Oh, it's still March. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
Mentally, it's flying by to all of us, but physically, it's like 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the whole year has been crazy. Now it's like almost Thanksgiving and almost Halloween. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Of course, I'm doing it in the middle of the show. My dad calls me right in the middle of the show. So I'm going to go ahead and send him a message here. So I'm not trying to be rude to everyone.
Yeah, so it's been a great year, though. I mean, for considering, at least I think so. A lot of people will probably disagree and think I'm crazy and be like, no, you're insane.
It's been a bad year, but it doesn't mean it has to be a terrible year all around, you know? I mean,
yeah,
there's some bad things about it, and you know, and people are suffering, and we feel for them. You can say you've had a good year and not feel bad about it, you know?
For sure. I mean, it's been a rough year, I think, for everybody. With work, most people are out of work. Most people have had to change jobs or get used to kids being home more often and stuff like that. But if you really look at the end, we've made it this far in the year. We've made it, let's say, through the worst of it. And
yeah.
I think a lot of us have come out stronger on the other side. I mean, learning with the pandemic, people are getting closer together. People are finding themselves, finding a new passion and stuff like that. There's a lot of positivity that has come out of the craziness that has been 2020. And I think that everybody just has to, like, take a moment and realize that. I mean, it's been rough. I know it's been rough, and I've had a rough year, but we're all coming out. We're coming down to the end to where we made it. We made it. Now we can look forward to what's the craziness that's going to happen in 2021.
Yeah. I think to go back to your point, I think this year is giving us a chance to kind of just almost reset and remember what's really important. So a lot of times we are just go constantly, like on the go, and for a while we just had to be with each other, you know, be home and just kind of, you know, think about what's important and remember, like, being with family or just kind of even being with yourself and self-reflecting for a while. You know, it's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. You just got
to
take a moment and realize, okay, it's awesome.
Yeah, so we're trying to find the bright side, because I know, you know, again, people are going through, you know, with losing jobs and trying to figure out where they're going to get food from or making sure they got a place to live. So that really, I know it outweighs all the self-reflecting part of it, but you know, to know that it's not all bad, you know, that's what message we're trying to convey here. But
absolutely.
With everything going on with the election and all that stuff that's happening in the world today, it's been a crazy year. That's
for
sure. And you've been with it.
Absolutely.
And you're in Indiana, I believe. Are you still in Indiana?
Yep, I am in Indiana until COVID decides it's going to figure itself out and I could go back on the road with CERT.
Oh.
So it's a waiting game, and we don't know when that's going to happen, if it's going to happen. So now we're just kind of waiting, I guess.
Yeah, it sucks not knowing what your next move is going to be, kind of being in like a holding pattern.
Luckily with me, I've been on the road for goodness, almost 2 years. February will be 2 years. I've been on the road. I've been home a total of 3 weeks out of those 2 years. So I'm kind of used to the wildness that is traveling. I mean, I probably have one of the coolest jobs that anybody could ever have, getting paid to travel. I mean, right now I'm sitting in an Airbnb in Indiana, just chilling.
Wow.
So.
That is an awesome. I mean, I like my life. I like, you know, being here. But it would be cool to be able to go out and just travel around and stuff. Not that I want to, you know, be in Indiana for an extended period of time, but, you know.
It's not that bad. I mean, the people so far have been really nice. Now, I'm still, I guess you could call it my honeymoon phase, because I've only been here for 3 months. And so I haven't officially, like, lived here. I mean, my box of clothes, because I have a box. I don't do suitcases. I have too many clothes. It's still packed up. Most of my stuff is still packed up. Like, if I had to, I could leave tomorrow sort of thing. But everyone's super nice. So,
yeah,
I would.
You know, I mean, I was just, see, my parents, my mom is from Michigan, and it's kind of like there's just a Midwest rivalry type of thing, like Michigan, like going against Ohio, Wisconsin. It's all about just kind of poking fun out of states in that area that aren't Michigan. So, like, Dennis, he's from Ohio. They'll give him a hard time like that. So I'm sure everyone in Indiana is very nice, and I would definitely would not mind visiting the state.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's just all good fun, you know?
Yeah, I don't get involved in sports and stuff. It's over my head, so.
I probably should. It's like the biggest stressful thing, and it's like such a waste of being stressed out over sports. It's like being stressed out like when you play a video game and you're on your and you do your play of Call of Duty and you get killed and you get super pissed because you got killed, and it's like game of thing is like, is it really that big of a deal? It's just,
I feel
like
I'm being called out right now. I play Call of Duty like every day, and that happens all the time. I completely understand.
I
was playing Call of Duty all the way up to the point where I was like, oh, it's 7:45. I need to get ready for this interview.
Well, like when you're playing Fortnite almost to the end, and you're almost like, you're like the last three people, and like you get killed like one behind. Like some like fluke shit happens, and you're like, God bless.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I go off sometimes. I'll rage on people. I'm not going to lie. I tend to rage a lot, but also I'm well into my abilities in Call of Duty where I know if someone's hacking. So typically, unless you're being a punk to me, I'm not going to be a punk back to you. The moment, like, we get these little kids who like to talk shit to us because we have a regimen of, like, adults, people who are legal drinking age. And they'll be like, oh, you motherfucker, you don't know how to play. And go back to, like, the kitchen and stuff. And I'm like, kid, aren't you supposed to be going to do the dishes? Like,
yeah,
and they'll just,
second grade.
Yeah, exactly. Go back to school, kid. Go do your homework.
Isn't nap time for you? Shit, go get your juice box and shut the hell up.
Exactly. It's so funny.
My ex-wife's cousin brought his Xbox or PlayStation or one of those things over to the house to play Call of Duty, and I just remembered. Just not being able to point up in the air. I'm just looking at the sky, and I'm like, how do I move and how do I point the gun? I'm looking up at the sky, and people are like shooting at me and shit. Like, this is ridiculous. I felt so old. Like, I'm like, this can be a side scroller. like Super Mario Brothers. I can just push A and B and go across the screen. You know, I'm an old fart.
Yeah.
When it comes to video, like, you know, back in my day, we only went left to right in video games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I got a Twitch channel going now and stuff, working on building my following on that. Not that I ever think I'm going to become like a ninja or Tim the Tat Man, but, you know, it's fun for me. I enjoy raging people watch me rage.
You send me these links, and I usually get on my either like the last few times I've been at the cabin doing investigations and stuff, and I've got to figure out what my name is. So I have a Twitch account, but I'm like I don't have the password like on me. So when I go to click on it, I'm not sure what it is, but I definitely want to follow your games and stuff. I mean, I've watched Ninja before, and it's like he makes it look so easy when he plays the games. You're like psh, I can do that, and then you get on there, you start playing like, oh, maybe I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I can't.
Ninja's just a freaking beast, man. Him and Tim the Tat Man.
I think it's sponsorship playing videos. I mean.
He has
games.
With like Red Bull or something like that.
I'm over here drinking Mountain from Food Lion, so if they want to sponsor me, here you go. Advertise it.
That's how I always do it. Like if I'm streaming and I'm like drinking a Corona, it's like sponsored by Corona beer. I'm not really sponsored, but you know, hey, you could sponsor me. I drink a lot
Making
of beer
sure.
while I play.
Make sure the label's out. You know, if I tried drinking beer while I was playing a video game, but half the time I'd be like, oh shit, I gotta go to the bathroom. Crap, I mean, push pause. That would not be very kind of annoying to my teammates. I'm like, where did Ryan go? He's in the bathroom again. God damn it.
Yeah. That's funny.
So,
definitely.
We doubt now that you've written.
This is number 4. I got 4 books out now and 4 more in the editing process.
Damn.
So I won't get those out this year. I'm going to edit them, and I'm actually going to try and push to get these books published, my next ones published with a publisher. So it's going to be slow, but my goal is to get at least one book published by the end of 2021. So I could be a
give us a quick synopsis of like what books you have out now, because they have a series out. Is it a series or because there's the Crimist?
So all of the books so far that I have out all will have sequels to go with them. So I have the Crimist, which is a science fiction novel about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I have The Game of Six, which is a crime thriller. And I have The Dragon's Den, which is a middle grade, which is a middle school aged fantasy book, in a sense. It's like science fantasy-ish in between the two.
Yeah.
And then my newest one, More Than You Know, is a romantic drama category.
I really have the Crimos and the Dragon Pen. Do I have a copy of The Game of Six? I think I do.
Yeah, you do. I gave it to you in St. Albans, I think.
That's right. That's right. Okay. All right.
I don't know
Do
you have a copy of? I don't think you have a copy of Dragon Pen. I think you have my first two books. Or did I send you a copy of Dragon Pen? Oh, I did.
I know Kimmy. Yeah, because Kimmy read it. And she really enjoyed it. Yeah. So
yes, sir.
This new book, the more you know. I keep saying More Than You Know is definitely a way from like what you normally write about. What made you decide to go this direction?
So this book I've been working on for 4 years. I took a class in college that was the sociology of domestic violence, and it talked about, pretty much the entire semester talked about the women being the victims. All but two classes of that entire class, which in college that's two periods, because each class has two classes a week most times. So 1 week out of this entire class, we talked about the males being the victims and talked about that side of things. So in a, I think, 18-week course, I think it was, we spoke 1 week on male victims. So that kind of piqued my interest. At the end of the class, we had to do a project that elicited some sort of emotional response from someone who might have gone through it and just basically encouraged them to speak up. And you could write a paper, you could do a video, you could do a like a graphic design, whatever. So I did a graphic design, and because we only spoke 1 week of the entire class on male victims, I decided to do it on the male victim side and did a whole like flyer you could call here, put the domestic violence hotline. And then we had to write a 3-page paper on why we decided to touch on that topic and the facts that we could provide about it. I got 100 on the project, and my teacher said out of the 10 years he's been teaching the class, I was the second student to do it on male victims, to do the final project on the male victims. So that kind of told me that, hey, something's not right here, that we no one's talking about the male victims. There's all these videos and discussions and everything about females. I mean, females are always seen as the victims, which is good and bad in some sides. They all they have women's shelters that are strictly for women's and children, and women get a lot of help from the government in terms of when they come out of the other side. But you don't really hear about males. They tend to, and through a lot of research and stuff, they're the silent victims. I mean, they make up for half of the domestic violence cases, but only 30% of those are reported to authorities. And so, or ever reported to anyone, because you have the masculinity side that men are afraid to admit, because they're like, oh, well, I don't want to be seen as a pussy. I don't want to be seen as weak, when they're not. They're just going through something that millions go through. So from there, I just kind of started researching, and More Than You Know formed in my head. Now, as a writer, and other writers will agree with me, you could be watching a movie and an idea will pop in your head and then it'll just explode. And that's exactly what this book did. It exploded. It was a simple idea, and now this book series will end up being 3 books long, and it will basically cover the entire, like, the beginning, the middle, and the end of going through that. And the hopes of me writing this book is to bring more awareness to male victims. I'm going to take part of the proceeds, and I haven't figured out the programs yet, because there are no, there's like no programs for male victims. Mm-hmm. So I haven't figured out what we're going to do, but a portion of the proceeds that I get from this book are going to go to a program to help raise awareness, an organization, a safe zone for men, something like that, that will allow. I mean, if you go on Facebook right now is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So it's a, that's why I chose to publish it this month. Because it's a great time. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's sharing their stories. I mean, since I've put it out, and then I've been doing these radio interviews and everything, I've gotten so many good reviews of people saying thank you for finally bringing awareness to this issue. And I mean, if you go on Facebook now and you do what?
It's tough, because like you said,
men don't want to talk about, or even men don't even, sometimes men don't even know that they're being abused. It's because it's not, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical abuse. It can also be mental abuse, you know, and it's scary how it can happen, like, and nobody ever talks about it, you know, because, like you said, they don't want to be thought of as being, oh, well, yeah, I don't want to be thought of as less manly because of this. I'll just keep it to myself, you know, and it wears on you.
It's very true, and I mean, a lot of men they worry when they're in that situation about what their friends, what their family will think, and they'll get the, oh, you're a dude, you're supposed to be the strong one. But some women, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, men are assholes, men do this, men do that and everything. But women do the same things. Women tend to be more manipulative. They tend to be more emotionally driven. And that kind of makes it a whole lot harder for men because it's the back and forth game. I mean, everyone goes through the back and forth game. But it's very emotional and very abusive in terms of mentally. And that gets, tiring.
So women can use their looks and the men's, because men's need for sexual interaction, they can use that against them. So, and they could, some women can almost make men feel less than what they are just by the words they use. So I mean, it's like, I'm sure physical abuse happens, but is it more mental abuse than physical for when it comes to like abuse for men?
So it really, it's pretty even. I mean, the 1 in 7 men are said to experience severe physical abuse in their lifetime. So 1 in 7 men, if you think about that, that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And that's just, I mean, again, that's across the spectrum too. You know, it's not just women abusing men; it's men abusing men, and everything. You know, it's scary, and it's good that we're trying to make it like so men feel comfortable talking about it and coming forward, because, you know, being raised where it's like, oh, you're not supposed to cry, you're not supposed to do this, you're a man, suck it up, you know, it's such a backwards way of thinking, you know?
It very much is. And I mean, in society, I mean, it goes both ways. In society, women are trained that you're the emotional one, you're the weak ones, you need a man to survive for you, while the man's like, oh, you need to provide for your woman, you need to do what makes her happy and everything. It's just like happy life, happy wife. It's not always that it's all happy behind the scenes. And so, more than you know, it is a fiction book, but I've done a lot of research and talked to a lot of people who have gone through these issues, women and men. So, and it tells a very realistic story of John Crawford and his struggles with doing this, going through this issue and this crisis that's actually hitting America. I mean, through the pandemic, we mentioned the pandemic earlier, domestic violence has spiked in the United States. Tons more cases, and that's because everybody's around each other all the time. I mean, these people were abusive before, but now it's like you can't even escape. And so more people are coming forward. More people are finding the strength to leave, which is fantastic. But there's always something that needs to be done. We need to encourage people more that they can get help. I mean, one of the biggest things that I can push is if you're struggling with it, if you're a male, reach out to me. I don't have a lot of resources, but I can help guide you in that way. I have a lot of contacts around the country. And it's just, we want everyone to be safe. And so for me, raising awareness for this issue and helping be a voice to those who are silent, I mean, they are known as the silent victims. It's humbling to me because of all the great responses I've gotten since I've put out this book. I mean, I've had some negatives, but that comes with every book. But just the amount of love and support and the stories I've heard from people in just this last month. I mean, it came out October 1st. So it hasn't even been out a month yet. And I'm already getting a ton of just more knowledge to me to be able to represent in the following books, because there's going to be two more, a very accurate image of what it looks like, in hopes that we together can make a difference and change someone's life, save someone's life. I mean, it's a very volatile situation when you're dealing with domestic violence. That's why it's the number one killer of law enforcement officers. If they respond to one of these, it's very dangerous on all sides. And so that's really why I want to put it out there, why I'm doing radio interviews and everything, is to try and give a voice to those who don't have one or feel like they don't have one.
Well, you know, to tie this back to, like, the paranormal, what we deal with, look at Debbie and was it Mark Constantino? That was domestic violence. They had this what looked like a great relationship on the outside, but you know, once you get behind closed doors, the mask come off. So to speak, you don't know what's really going on when you go behind closed doors. You know, it's scary. Go back to what you were talking about with COVID. We forget about, like, you're stuck at home. You don't go out. Don't social distance. Don't go out. But if you're at home with an abusive person, husband or wife, and you can't go anywhere because nothing's open, you can't. And you feel trapped, you know, and the other person is feeling trapped and being more pissed off because he can't go anywhere. It's got to be like a recipe for like a dynamite keg.
That's exactly what it is. And I mean, everybody's going through it. You're getting sick of your partner. We understand. But I mean, I think everybody's like, okay, I need to get back to normal. I need to get my life back to where it was. But we forget that some people don't have that happy life. They don't have – they're with the love of their life, but that love of their life isn't what everyone thinks they are. And so I think the biggest thing that we can encourage people to do, and what I'm hoping to do, is encourage people to actually listen. If one of their friends come to you, especially male friends – females, they tend to speak out more. They'll go to their best friends and they'll tell them, oh, hey, he hit me or something like that, because they trust them. The problem that we have with male victims is their best friends rag on them. If you say, oh, my girlfriend hit me.
Yeah.
Hey, man, why do you got a black eye? My girlfriend hit me. Oh, you pussy. Well, no.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, yeah, that could be funny. It's a ha-ha joke to some, but to some, that's what they're living. They're living with an abusive family member, abusive love of their life that is just tormenting them daily. And we got to get it to stop, and we have to, and it's going to save lives. And so that's why I'm trying to speak out. I mean, I'm a female, but I could still speak out for the male victims because I know that there's an issue.
Yeah, well,
and I feel that it's not being responded to.
Just like male victims can speak out for female victims. We're all in this together. You know, it is not like, oh, well, this is that, you know, we all should speak up for both victims. It should not be a thing at all. Unfortunately it is. And it's like the best we can do is try to raise awareness and do our best, do our part to be there for people who have experienced it, because I don't know if it'll ever stop, honestly. But what we can do is be there for people and say, look, this, you're not alone. We're here for you. We will find you the help that you need and get you the shelter. You know, somebody you can call. And I think, like, for women,
it's exactly it.
You know, a lot of times they don't feel like they can go anywhere. They feel scared. They feel like if I go some, I don't want to go. I don't want to upset him. I'm scared to go anywhere. Is it the same way with the men? Is it like they're scared to leave because maybe their self-worth has been so tarnished that they don't feel like they deserve to be happy? Is that, if you're finding that, that's kind of the case with some of these guys?
So it's slightly different between the genders in the victimology and, like, why they don't leave. The biggest reason for women is obviously most of the time when the men are the breadwinners. So they're the ones with the financial backing. They're the ones who bring home the money, the business people. For the most part, the women use the money of the men. Now, that's not always the case, but they're scared to leave because they don't have anything. They don't have money to financially support themselves, and they don't know where they're going to go and who they're going to stay with and everything like that. And in worst scenarios, a lot of times the men abusers will force the women to quit their jobs. And then they won't, they'll cut ties with all their friends and basically seclude them. And a very similar things happen with women. Oh, you can't go out with this guy because I think you're going to hang out with another woman. And so they start secluding them from their male friends. Well, the other problem is I think the biggest reason that men don't speak up as much and don't come forward and don't leave as much is the fear of losing their masculinity. They're not necessarily afraid money-wise because, I mean, unless it's a very volatile situation where they do seclude them and they have to quit their jobs or something like that, they do have a financial backing most times. But it's the fear of leaving and someone looking at them as, oh, well, you left her, like, and you shouldn't have left her, and when they're really justified in leaving, especially for the fact they are being abused and they're struggling to get out, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think people are so concerned about what other people think about them that it almost becomes crippling. They can't make the right decision because they just feel like if I do this, what are people going to say? And I'm guilty of doing that myself sometimes. I'm like, well, what are people going to think if I say this or what? And you know, it's easy to say, well, who cares? But it's hard. It's especially in these days where with social media and you don't know what people are saying behind your back. You don't know, like, if they're texting their friends, well, look what happened with this guy here. You heard he left his girl. Oh my goodness. And it's like word spreads a lot faster than it used to. You know, there are drawbacks to the world we're living in now, you know?
Oh, most definitely. And even in a society that is full of social media, it only takes one message, one thing from a female to tell. And, I mean, the sad thing is in society is because we've become so known that women are victims, if a woman goes to someone and says, oh, he's an asshole, he did this, or he's a jealous, or he's this, he's that, people are going to believe her more than a man walking up to them with a black eye saying, my girlfriend just beat me with a baseball bat. Like, they're not going to believe him. They're going to think, like, oh, well, maybe he got jumped. They're not going to believe that she took a knife and cut his arm versus her crying and saying, oh, he pushed me down. They're going to believe her over him, and that's the sad part. I mean, a lot of men, when they're in abusive relationships, eventually they do lash out. Eventually they will put their hands on the woman, and obviously that's bad in any case. You don't want to hit anyone else, but once you poke the bear enough, the bear's going to bite, and in the instances they bite, the woman tends to call the cops, and he gets arrested for hitting her when she's been abusing him for months. And that's the biggest thing, is in society, even the police will take the word of a woman over the word of a man when it comes to a domestic dispute. Unless the man's on the ground unconscious and she's like, oh, he fell. In that instance, okay, not so much, but in an instance where there's no known injuries. You can't see the injuries behind the clothes or something like that.
It's a very touchy subject, and it's hard for me to comment on it without, you know, because it's like I don't want to cross any lines, but it's easy for a woman if she's abusing the man to claim, oh, it was self-defense. He came at me, and I did this to him. And it's sad that it's come to that, you know. Like I said, it's a very touchy subject. I don't want to, like, you know, say the wrong thing. But,
right.
You know.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree in terms of the women.
You know, if it's female abuse or man abusing females, I don't want to jump to conclusions. And I need to hear all of it, the whole story. I need to have proof. Because, you know, men lie and girls, females lie too. You know, it's unfortunate that stuff
happens.
Exactly.
I mean, the prime example is I joined a bunch of domestic violence support groups during the process of publishing this book, just so I could ensure that I was detailing the book in a way that was realistic, because that's what I want to do. Is while people may enjoy the storyline, they'll love Jason, which is their little son, and they'll love the storyline and stuff, I want it to be as realistic as possible to represent what people, so that people are more accepting of it. So that once you're reading this book, you could start to think, oh, well, maybe I need to reach out to that friend who said his girlfriend hit him. And just get the conversations rolling. And I joined a lot of the domestic violence groups. And, I mean, in all of Facebook, there are two for men. The entire Facebook social media platform, there are two support groups for men, and probably about 1,000 to 2,000 for women only. If that doesn't tell you something that on why I'm pushing for this so strongly, it should. Because it just shows that there's no support.
Yeah.
And talking to the male. Yeah, it was quite mind-blowing when I'm searching all the different keywords. I'm like, I have two. That's all I have is two. And I'm trying to join them and everything, and I can't find them. And so, but in talking with a lot of these men, is they want a safe place that they don't get ridiculed. for talking.
Yeah.
Just speaking what occurred. Because their friends don't give it to them. It's always a joke.
When you have, like you said, males, they tend to rag on each other more. And sometimes it's their way of, like, I don't know. If I don't care about you, I wouldn't be doing this. But sometimes that's not what you need. You need someone you can talk to. And the fact that they're only two, only two support groups is really, really, really quite sad, you know?
It is. It just goes to show the lack of support that these men have when they go through this issue.
I'm on Facebook Live and looking at the Facebook chat, and my friend Kimberly here says there are hidden groups. So maybe I can get you to talk with her. Maybe you guys can chat with each other. She said join NAMI, NAMI. I'm not sure what that is. But she may know of some groups that you can look into. So I'm going to tell Kimberly to message you. Message Celestial McBride. And maybe she can help you out with that. So
yeah,
I
want to
kind of get away from you only have like 10 minutes left. You said each of your books is going to be part of a series, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So with this book, are you going to concentrate on writing more books for this book right now, or are you going to go back and write books for the Cremost? Or are you going to go, are you trying to write all these books at the same time, or do you
try
to go back and start scanning it all the way back up?
So I have 6 books, and actually my Cremost book came out when I was 16. I love the storyline. I think it's a fantastic storyline. However, I was 16 years old, and since then I've grown a lot. I mean, it's 7 years later now. I'm going to go back and re-edit that book because I don't feel that I did it the justice that it deserves. And then the sequel will come out when I re-release the edited version of the Cremost. It will be the same title, same everything. It's just going to be edited so it's up to people's standards. I mean, it's very well written already, but I was not good at grammar back then. I still am not, but I'm getting better, I feel. So I'm going to edit that and then both of those books. But that will be a trilogy. The Game of 6 book, I'm like halfway through the sequel, and it's only going to be 2 books on that one. And then the Dragon Pin is going to be a 4-book series. It's called the Chaos Pin series. And so after that, we're going to have 3 more books coming out, hopefully in 2021, and we'll get the entire series out there. But, yeah, I'm kind of working on all of them at one time, which is why it's super slow. I should just focus on one, get it done, but my brain doesn't work like that. And as a writer, most people will agree your brain doesn't sit still long enough to focus on one book because you always get that, oh, hey, that's a great idea. Oh, that'd be great for this other book. Let's go write that to this other book. And you just wander away and work on another book. So they are all coming. And then I have 4 more that are coming out. I have Evie's Night, which is a paranormal story. That one, I absolutely adore this story. It's going to be a middle school aged book. It's going to have 2 books at least with it, maybe more. And it's actually going to tie in a lot of what I've learned from the paranormal to the series, because it's a paranormal book about day and night. It's basically the battle of day and night. And so it's going to be a book about that. And then I have Earthlink, which is a science fiction kind of adult. It's more adult. It's more YA than sorry, someone was just screaming outside my house. I had to figure out if it was someone in trouble. Yeah, so we have a YA. It's kind of older, younger adult storyline. Takes place in space. Part of it takes place in space. And then I have, and then I have the Candle Shop Adventures, which is actually, it's going to be, I'm hoping it's going to be like the Magic Treehouse books, in a sense. The goal of that one is a little similar to the domestic violence, except for it's to teach kids how to deal with certain situations they may face in life. So the first book is about anxiety and a young middle school student who suffers from terrible anxiety. He goes to this candle shop, and the candle shop owners take him on an adventure to teach him how to fix his anxiety. So
you've got a lot
yeah, I do.
Stuff going on. Like, you're definitely staying busy. Now, just like one more question. When you're writing these books, like, do you ever find yourself maybe blending the stories that by accident, like, you ever have one character from the Kermit end up in one of the dragon pen by accident, like, oh wait a second, this is the right book, or are you able to compartmentalize what you're working on?
For the most part, most of them are so different in terms of placement and in terms of storyline. Now, I kind of take the same route that Stephen King does, where most of his books take place in, like, the same three cities, but they never kind of interchange, but they all take place in the same two to three cities around the world or around the country. Most of my stories, if you read them, take place in North Carolina. That's absolutely my favorite state in the entire United States, and I've been to quite a few of them. A lot of them tend to take place in North Carolina. It's not intentional. They're not going to combine, but they do take place there just because I know that area very well.
It's not the shared universe. It's the you're not going to have, like, some kind of, like, Avengers crossover book or something?
No, maybe eventually. My goal is to write... I actually, at one point during writing More Than You Know, during the sequel, because More Than You Know, the three books that are going to be are pretty much written. I sat down over the last 4 years, and, I mean, I have 8 notebooks long of this storyline, so it's pretty much written. But at one of the points,
we've got 90 seconds left. I hate to cut you off. I'm sorry. You tell people how to get in touch with you, where to find your books at, real quick.
Oh yeah, so all of my books are on Amazon. You can go to Amazon on. All of my books are available Kindle Unlimited. So if you're a Prime member, you can get them for free. Please download it. Make sure you review them. You can also follow my social media. I'm on Twitter, ghosthunter_CC. I'm on Facebook, author Celestial Ann. I also have a website, which is celestialann.com. And those, my website and my Facebook all have links. And trust me, if you are going through domestic violence, you're not alone. You have people out here who are trying to make a difference, trying to get your voice out there. So please, if you're going through it, reach out to me. Reach out to someone you know. If you don't trust me, I understand. Reach out to someone you know. And guys, if someone reaches out to you, take it seriously. Don't make it a joke. Don't crack a joke with them, because people are struggling right now. And I guess I will leave it at that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll definitely have you back. And we need to get you back to Virginia. Your nephew misses you.
For sure, for sure. I mean, I've hardly seen him since he was born. He's getting so big.
I know.
But yeah, I'll be back there soon.
Well,
I'll, Holly was talking to me and said we should all link up soon. So I guess we'll plan it.
Yes. We'll all get together. Hell
yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on the show. And
thanks for having me.
Put the links on my Facebook page too, so they'll know.
Oh, and one more thing before it cuts us off. If anybody wants a signed copy of More Than You Know, hit me up on Facebook. I got 25 copies sitting next to me. I can sign them and have them in the mail tomorrow. Let me know.
Yeah, I want one. Yes, I want one. Send one to me. You know I want one.
Yeah, I'll send you one. I know you do. I have a list of people who want them, so just let me know. You guys hit me up.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Ryan.
I appreciate it. All right, have a good one.
You too.
Good night.
Good night.